Oh, and we are back and coming to us from what looks to be everybody's first apartment once they graduate from college, L. Duncan. My first question, where the hell are you?
Yeah, our producers, as we say hello and welcome to the L. Duncan Show with Gary Streisky, our producers go, oh, where in Florida are you? I am not in Florida. I am in downtown Atlanta, which is why this Margaritaville theme is interesting. It's a hotel that is not a Margaritaville hotel, but has one underneath it. And I've stayed here before, and I think I just got maybe the Jimmy Buffett floor, because the other places that I have stayed, other rooms in this place, a lot of marble, a lot of, like, it almost is like a, like too much marble. And this is the opposite. And of course, if you're not watching, if you're just listening, all you need to know is that perched right over my shoulder is an entire Margaritaville machine. And it's sitting on a driftwood table. It has a turquoise couch.
The design aesthetic of the room that you're coming to us from is basically all the leftovers from the actual themed rooms. Because you, it looks like you're sitting in a wicker chair.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am.
Above your left shoulder, it looks like there's two Adirondacks overlooking the ocean. Mm-hmm. Over your right shoulder seems to be last fall's collection of the Magnolia collection, Chip and Joanna Gaines. And then, of course, just a chair from IKEA or a couch from IKEA. So they checked a lot of design elements for your room there, Elle.
Yeah, well, the picture is depicting paradise. It's close for me because right out my window, I am gazing upon a Waffle House. So, you know, who needs the Adirondacks when you've got a Waffle House and an overpriced wing spot? And that is pretty much Atlanta in one small, tiny thing. You know what, Gary? As we come to you from Atlanta, Georgia, I'm here for the Celebration Bowl, by the way, which is, for those of you that don't know, it is the HBCU's national championship. FCS schools don't have a proper one, but these HBCU schools, it's the winner of the MEAC, the winner of the SWAC. They face each other, and they're crowned the national champion for HBCUs. This year, it's FAMU and Howard. So, yeah, that's why I'm here. But in similar ways to every time we travel, Gary, the sports world, just sporting right now. I mean, there is apparently a mad dash for balls.
Oh,
just the one. We've got a 24-year-old claiming that he's too old for life.
Yep.
And of course, it's that time of the year where we go, is that a real bowl game? But you know what? We're going to couch all that because we're going to start with a suspension heard round the world. Draymond Green.
Slap!
Slapped Gare Bear with an indefinite suspension for his smack of Yusuf Nurkic.
Mm-hmm. I like that they used the word indefinite. It seems like it carries more brevity, but it's also the NBA trying to pinpoint the number to which would be justifiable here in Draymond, the habitual line stepper that he is, for telling Yusuf Nurkic, what did the five fingers say to the face? Slap! Just another incident on his CVS receipt of incidences, not just this season. This is his second suspension. Of course, we got the choke out of the Stifle Tower just but a couple of weeks ago. His umpteenth technical, his umpteenth ejection. Elle, this is problematic for a Warriors team who, in years past, when Draymond has shown off his antics, it's okay because they're winning, and yes, he's part of that integral big three, but like Klay and Steph and KD at the time, they could carry on about him. But like Draymond is a pivotal piece for this Warriors team who's sub 500 and, again, stumbling out of the gates early in the season.
So Draymond to me is like a textbook case of an invincibility complex. Like there's always a part of your personality. And when your friends or people that care about you or coworkers or colleagues, people that protect you, your circle of trust, if you will, when they sort of come to terms with who you are, they tend to make excuses for that. And they tend to write off what could be deemed actual problematic behavior with, that's just Draymond being Draymond. And here's my thing. I've always kind of been anti, like, you know, what is wrong with Draymond? I'm like, Draymond, we all have a Draymond in our life or played against one. Like, he's an agitator. That's what he does. It's like a big part of his game. Get under your skin. He's incredibly emotional. He's a guy that is very motivated off that chip on the shoulder mentality as well. He just sort of like is, like, that is a function of his personality. I think it's been a big part of his game. I think it's why Steve Kerr for the last couple of years has always sort of not made excuses, but at least talked about that part of it as it relates to Draymond. But it's now just getting to a point where you're like, you know, this man needs actual help. Like, just to his impulse control is a problem. I don't mind the technicals. That kind of stuff is not okay, or is fine with me. But even Steve Kerr last year, when he stepped on Domantas Sabonis' chest and was suspended for that, he was like, you know, I appreciate sort of the fiery thing that Draymond plays with. He's like, but we gotta get to a point where he's not being violent. You know, he was like, I don't mind the chippiness, the yelling, the, you know, chesting up, like all that I don't mind. He's like, but the violence is a problem. And we saw that with Jordan Poole, of course, which happened last year. And the thing is after Jordan Poole, Gary, Draymond says, you know, I'm gonna take some time. I'm going to work on myself. He's been suspended 4 times since then, just since then. And this is happening because largely the Warriors have said, this is the part of you that we are fine with. Like, we've come to terms with, this is who you are and we're okay with it. Hence that $100 million contract that he got over the summer when they chose him over Jordan Poole, rightfully so, by the way. I do think that they are enabling him, the Warriors. And I wonder when it's going to get to a point where you go, there is something here that's happening, and it's not just, you know, sort of what Rasheed Wallace said is, you know, the Pistons, and he was informed by then and how he grew up and he was in that locker room. And there's something that's going on with Draymond that is incredibly self-destructive, and he lacks any impulse control. And for someone that's been in trouble as much as he have, that's a problem.
Yeah, I think he lacks a ton of accountability too. I mean, even the post game after he said, hey, you know, I don't apologize for anything that I intended to do, but I did slap Youssef in the face.
As you know, I'm not one to apologize for things I meant to do, but I do apologize to Youssef because I didn't intend to hit him. I sell calls with my arms. I don't fall or to sell a call. I'm not a flopper. So I was just selling the call because he was grabbing me and pulling my hip back. So I spun away, and unfortunately, I hit him. And so, like I said, I apologize.
So, I mean, this is Draymond saying, you know, he doesn't apologize for things that he means to do, but he didn't mean to strike Youssef in the face because he oftentimes sells his calls with his arms, and he's very flaily with his body. And I just think that, like, I don't know, as a 30-something dude, there just has to be just an accountability factor where, yeah, dude, I hit him. I can't control myself. I got a bit of a violent streak to me when I feel like I'm wronged or when I want to retaliate. Like, that's his way of retaliating because it's not in the box score. It's with physicality that hasn't been checked. So dude needs to get checked, but I don't know. And I don't want to compare the two because they're seeking help in different ways. But when Ja Morant had to step away because he had all the social media issues and he's still obviously away from the team. And of course, the alleged gun incidents. I don't want this to be framed as like, oh, now all of a sudden Draymond Green's been in the league for a dozen years. Oh, now he has to be suspended indefinitely because now he needs help. And because it is indefinite, I just struggle to except that when he comes back, oh, it's just going to be this cure-all. We're never going to see Draymond lash out again. So I think I think the NBA's intentions are okay, but I think it's a wobbly foundation that I think that they're framing the suspension in.
Because you think they should be more firm with what this is. I think they just aren't really dealing with a case. Like, they haven't really dealt with a case like this. I mean, where a guy just repeatedly keeps getting suspended consistently, mm-hmm. right? And to your point, the accountability factor. What did he say after he stepped on Sabonis's chest? He said, "I got to land my foot somewhere."
Yeah, I got to put my foot somewhere. Yeah. Okay.
It's like, listen,
there's like 94 feet of NBA court that you could have used.
He's like, my hand needed a rest. Of course, I was going to rest on Rudy Gobert's neck. I mean, what do you want me to do? I don't think that they know exactly what they're dealing with here. Like, Ja is incredibly problematic because all of his issues happen off the court. And so, you know, the NBA could even, and maybe Ja's camp could maybe even write it off as like bad influence, which they've tried to do, or the idea that he doesn't feel safe. That's sort of been the thing that Ja and his people have been circling around. Ja doesn't feel safe because of who he is outside of that arena. I think Draymond's issues like are exclusively inside the arena. It's the hot-headed nature of how he plays. And it is difficult to tell someone to change and be different. And especially when they've done it for this long and to such great success. And he has been so integral with what the Warriors have done. But I'd like to believe that he is better than, and they're better than thinking or limiting what he does for that team to being this guy. You know, like I've got to believe there's more to Draymond than just being this guy, and that there is a delineation that he can somewhere make between keeping all of that same sort of edge that you want from Draymond whilst also just being a little bit more aware of his situation that he's in. Because again, like you just keep doing the same thing over and over, and I don't know exactly, you know, what result you're expecting, but because we are a really positive show, because we like to spin things positively, we were thinking, Gary. Now that he's got all of this time on his hand, I was thinking anyway. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you're positive? You literally have a whole brand about making fun of people. Semantics,
take the L.
Gary.
It's not called take the W.
L is for love. Take this love.
Okay, that's true. Open to interpretation.
But now that Draymond is going to be home indefinitely, probably at least through the holidays, I got to thinking, maybe Draymond can channel all of that frustration creatively and make a Christmas album.
Tis the season, L.
Okay, so of course this Christmas album is going to have a little bit of a Draymond theme because the dude likes to scrap. Are we ready?
Pop. Yep, I'm ready.
I'm going to sing it too.
Yes.
Oh, come all ye fighters, angry and disruptful. Oh, come all ye fighters to Golden State.
Well, I can't sing mine because you had a record deal and I didn't. So y'all will know these holiday hits. Deck your balls with fa-la-la-la-la-la, kick your dick.
Okay.
I think we're going to have to bleep that out.
I have a remix of that one.
Oh!
Okay. Deck the halls with boughs of fury. Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. Spicy like a Thai red curry. Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. Hey!
I love curry. That's good. That's good. My personal favorite Christmas song comes by way of NSYNC. With a Draymond remix.
Okay.
And this is just the title of the song. I'm not going to sing you a hook, but Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday.
Oh, okay.
You know what
happy
I'm saying?
Happy Holiday.
Happy Holiday. Happy Holiday.
There you go.
That's the one. That's the one. In sync. What's your side note? What is your favorite Christmas song?
Favorite Christmas song is maybe Last Christmas. Or This Christmas by Donny Hathaway, because I'm basic. You?
See, the Last Christmas or This Christmas? Merry Christmas by NSYNC. Close second, Mistletoe by Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Oh, segue, Draymond Green, Missile Elbow.
Oh, okay. How about this? On the 12 day suspended, my true love gave to me free therapy.
That's really good. Because I hear therapy is expensive.
It
is. $3.99. Damn. That's a good price, L.
I'm telling you.
All right. Hold on. Let me see. Feliz Navidad.
Okay. Feliz Navidad.
Just straight to the point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Then the
Just straight
to
over. The point with Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Nurkic, the red-nosed center.
Oh, that's good.
Had a very shiny nose. That's after poor old Draymond decided to throw some bows.
Like a fighter. Like McGregor. I don't know any other UFC fighters. Actually, yes, I do, but none that rhyme with that jingle. Okay. Grandma got ran over, and Draymond was behind the wheel.
All right. That doesn't even rhyme.
It doesn't even rhyme, Elle. You're the musically gifted one, okay?
You have to sing the beginning, then just, you know, Grandma got ran over.
Okay, what about this? What about this? What about this? All I want for Christmas is to knock out your two front teeth.
Oh, that's good. Your two front teeth. Yeah, okay, yeah, your two. Yeah, yeah, well done.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Silent fight. Lost my shit. Why? All was calm. All was fine. In your version, you didn't try. But we saw the tapes. You're a goddamn lie.
Yo, you wrote whole verses,
correct?
Fool. I just reimagined song titles.
Yeah. So are we, is this the first time that we're acknowledging that I go the extra mile and you don't?
Well, Elle, I just know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. I'm a headline writer. Okay. You are a story. I'm a headline writer.
Mm-hmm.
You're a story. You're a body writer.
Okay.
I'm a headline writer.
Gotcha. So you do, you
like
name the song. I write the chorus and the verse.
Boom.
And the thing is, we would still get the same amount of writing credit, and that sucks.
Well, because what's the most important thing about any story in the newspaper? The headline. It's the intention.
It is. Okay? 100%.
And then you stick around for the substance. Unless you're R.L. Stein, who describes a story has three parts, a beginning, a middle, and a twist.
We've talked about our adoration for R.L. Stein.
I love R.L. Stein.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
There's something else that's quite scary in the league right now beyond all the feistiness. I mean, it's the holiday season and Draymond's fighting and here goes our boy Jokic is getting kicked out of games for just like kind of maybe. I think he's just getting kicked out for being Eastern European looking. All right, here's the sitch. Gary, give them who is fighting over one singular ball.
All right, I'm gonna give you the deets, the who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes H, which is how. We're in Milwaukee. Giannis sets a new career high en route to also setting a franchise record with a 64-point performance against the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
Give me that historic rock. I'm putting it right next to my NBA Finals MVP, NBA trophy, all my All-Star recognitions. I want that new record-setting ball. Bam! You know who else wanted that ball, though?
Who?
A man who didn't score 64 points. A man who, according to his coach Rick Carlisle, wanted the ball because he scored how many points? Why does that sound plural? It's a point. Oscar Tshiebwe, the rookie, registered his first NBA bucket. It was a free throw. And to commemorate that, the Pacers wanted the game ball to go to the rookie Oscar Tshiebwe.
Yeah.
And Giannis was like, you have got to be on the weed, man, to channel our Stephen A. Smith. I want that ball. Pacers were like, nope, Oscar Tshiebwe gets the ball. Therein lies the issue.
Yeah, there's...
Giannis is like, give me the ball. Pacers like, nope, now we got to fight.
Yeah, they're scrapping in the bowels of the... of the arena.
The Pfizer Forum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're getting after it. Here's the biggest problem that I have with this story is that Giannis, in his attempt to be humble, we love Giannis because he's so like sort of humble and like an everyman guy, despite the fact that he's like super rich and famous and not relatable on any level to any of us at all. But he comes off that way. And in his bid to be like, I'm a everyman guy, he didn't at all say he was upset because he wanted the ball for himself. He says, claims, he's pissed for his guy, Damian Lillard. So
it's a new development for me, L.
Yes, Gary. He claims he was devastated for Damian Lillard because Damian Lillard got a three-pointer that moved him past Kyle Korver for fifth on the all-time three-point list. And he's like, it's my guy, it's Kyle Korver. Like, he beat Kyle Korver. Do you hear how horrible his accent is? I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, no. You sound like...
It's bad.
Like Nikola Jokic's family member?
Yeah. I sound like Nikola Jokic's family trying to make fun of Tommy DeVito. It's like all bad.
Yeah, I think so.
Woof. But basically, he's saying this isn't about him at all. This is about Damian Lillard being... fifth on the all-time list, not about his own personal record. That's what's annoying to me. Giannis, that's not true. Just say it. Just be like, listen, this was a career high for me. This was a franchise record for the organization that I love. I want that ball. But instead, he's like, no, it's for Damian. How could we do this to Damian? And that's just silly. I also, as silly as it sounds, can sort of relate to this because this kind of happened to me. Yeah, it's Eva's, my daughter, it's her first birthday. It's going to be her first birthday. And we are also at my husband's family reunion. And his uncle is turning, I don't know, 75, something like that. His uncle's birthday is not the same day as Eva's, fortunately, but they want to have a party for the uncle the same day as Eva's first birthday. And in my mind, I'm like, this is my daughter's first birthday. This is the biggest milestone ever. I mean, yeah, okay, it's just 1 year. It's not 75 years, but 1 year is pretty impressive, especially because I'm the one that had to keep her alive. That's a freaking win, dude.
This is like a celebration for you.
Yes, this is for me, duh. Let me have this little party. Let me go all out. Let me do the tent in the park. Let me cater it. Like, let me do this. And at the time, I just remember them sort of being like, okay, well, the older family is not really like impressed with a one-year-old's birthday when they've made it like 75 years. So like, that's a bigger milestone. Like, making it 75 years, way bigger milestone than you just sort of laying there for a year, right? You just kind of laid around for a year. You didn't really do shit. We don't think that's really like a huge celebration territory. And I felt the total and complete opposite. Now, of course, hindsight being 2020 and looking back, it's dumb as hell. No one cares about a one-year-old's birthday party except its parents. Nobody. No one. But at the time, it was significant to me. So I could see how if you're Oscar Tshiebwe, who knows? That could be a Hall of Fame career. That ball could be worth big money one day. You think Giannis has the ball from his very first game? I bet he does. So you can understand why if you're Oscar, that is significant for you. That is something that you want. I mean, I am, you know.
I'm with that.
I'm a little bit wondering why they didn't just, you know, do what I always do with my kids and lie to them. Why don't you just tell Giannis that was the game ball and give him another one? In fact, he claims they did, Gary. He claims he knows the difference between the game ball and the ball they gave him because of the feel. And he says they did not give him the game ball.
I 100% trust that. Just how Steph can find dead spots in a court. We've seen LeBron James using that ball a couple of days ago that they spilt on it, but he liked the tackiness and he could tell So I 100% got Giannis's back on he can tell whether or not that was the ball. My follow-up to the party here is I feel like we can draw very many parallels with one-year-olds and 75-year-olds because, one, both of them, to be honest with you, probably just laid around all year and did nothing. Okay. I'm guessing, okay? Two, the food, going to be the same. A one-year-old and a 75-year-old, they like soft food.
All right. I mean, they're not 90, Gary.
Well, I mean, 75, listen, quarter century.
Gary's so, like, one-year-old, 75-year-olds, both in diapers.
yeah, that too. 75-year-old, somebody always got to watch them. Somebody always got to make sure that they're good and they're cared for and everybody is tending to their needs just like a one-year-old. This party could have drawn does draw so many parallels that if the decorations were neutral, it could have been Eva's party and it could have been Uncle Omar's party, but
yeah,
I digress.
Yeah, so you think we should have just combined the parties and had a real rager, 1 to 75, everyone welcome.
Yeah, yeah, and then yeah. just play a game like, hey, the one-year-old and the 75-year-olds, who's got more teeth?
Okay, all right.
I don't know. I'm like super warped with age after it gets past like 65.
Clearly. I'm like, I don't know what exactly. There are lots of 75-year-olds running around right now that could still kick your ass on anything. And you know what?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Maybe it's because I'm older than you. But I feel like at some point.
By like 2 years.
Yeah, but still, I've already reached 40. I've hit a milestone. Yeah, I've hit a milestone. And I feel like as you get older, just the total and complete disrespect from the youngsters, it just has to stop. You know, it has to stop. 75-year-olds are living a robust life. My father-in-law is 75 years old. He's still throwing up weights. He's still chesty. This dude has a chest to marvel at. I swear to God. He's still out here doing all kinds of stuff, woodworking, whatevs. Now, he will also tell you that he feels it a lot more now because getting older sucks in many ways. And we actually have an NBA player who's experiencing that in real time. And that's one Luka Doncic, who I'm definitely big eye rolling because he had this to say about just feeling a little run down after playing the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't know how I played. I slept very little today. Everything hurts. I'm getting old, man.
Hey, Gare Bear, just a quick check.
24-year-old.
Thank you. How old is Luka?
24 years old, not years young, apparently.
Saying that he's feeling his age at 24 years old, and I'm just over here 16 years in the future wanting to throw eggs at his face. You've got no idea how good that liver is, how good that spine is, them knees, them hips, your shoulders. I've got arthritis in my elbow. Why?
The ability to bounce back in your 20s, I say the youth is wasted on the young. I'm telling you, because y'all don't know how good you have it until you don't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have it anymore is the day you hit 30. So mark my words. So help me God. 30, everything, your internal clock is just like, it's time to slow down, ladies and gents. It's time to downshift and let gravity and God take control. Yeah.
There's always like that really uncomfortable conversation too that your doctor inevitably has with you where they really are tiptoeing around you just being like old. I went to my doctor for something. I was like complaining about some pains and just concerned like, do I need to get MRIs on this? Should I have like a scan? Like, you know, I always kind of go all the way to the worst case scenario. Like, could this be cancer? Could this be, you know? And he's really trying to have this conversation with me. And finally he got to a point where he was like, okay, so the thing is, When we reach a certain age, our body just doesn't like heal that quick. And also, just in general, things are going to just feel a little softer, a little harder, a little just less good in general. And so I was like, so you're telling me I just have to like learn to live with this because my body's just old and breaking down? And he was basically like, yeah. Like, lean in, girl, because all of these issues are not real issues. They just come with being old. And it begs the question, Gary, when did you know? What were your indicators that you were fully entrenched and washed? Should we do it as a starting five? Your top five indicators that you are old and washed.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the doctor thing because for the first time ever in my life, I'm 36 and couple months ago, I did go to the doctor just to get my annual checkup. And that's when he did breach the topic, and it's very important for men's health. He was like, all right, a couple more years.
Colonoscopy.
Doc, this is a conversation for a couple years from now, but I appreciate you putting it on my radar. And he was like, oh yeah, it's in your orbit. And we're not talking like the furthest planet away from the sun. We're talking Earth. We're like the third rock from the sun. We're getting closer.
Oh yeah, he circled the date. He's like, Gary, I can't wait to stick my finger up your butt.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So that's definitely an honorable mention.
Okay.
I think, and I hope you can agree with this one, top five signs that I'm getting old. What are the best kind of plans when you're 30 or older? Canceled plans. Yeah. All right. You know, I love that.
You do a full dance.
I love it.
You can always tell what's going to happen too, because both sides start doing a very like, if you want, we can still leave tonight if that's still what you want to do, you know, or you'll say something like, you go ahead and you try to like muddy the waters. You'll be like, hey girl, just checking in because it's so freezing and cold outside. I was just wondering if you try to plant that seed of doubt in your head. Yeah, it's the best. I'll just be like,
yo, I saw on Instagram, you're still at work. Like it's cool. No pressure.
You don't have to. Yeah.
Like you doing your thing. Like let's reschedule it. So.
All right. Number five, a canceled plan. How about this? When you make noises whenever you move.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
Whether internally or audibly?
Just all the time. You're just, everything you do is just, you know, it just, and you can't help it. It just comes out of you. It's instinctive.
I think that's a symptom of the chair you're sitting in. You're sitting on just wicker.
I am.
I mean, it's great for the design element, but I have one that happened to me. This actually happened to me a couple of years ago, and you're familiar I think with your Denver ties, KS107.5, it's the hip hop station. And it's the station I listened to growing up. And I used to, every weekend or every night they would play Back in the Day Cafe, which is just throwback jams. And when I was growing up, it was like 80s, 90s rap.
Yeah.
And the first time they're like, all right, it's time now for the Back in the Day Cafe. Here's 50 Cent in the club. I was like, what do you mean Back in the Day Cafe, 50 Cent in the club?
Yeah.
So when your music and your movies and your styles start now becoming the throwbacks, the back in the day stuff.
Oh yeah.
That was one of the first indications that I'm like getting old.
That's a good one. When you become easy listening, you're like, no, I used to rage with this. Like, why is this on the vintage classic throwback channel? Okay. I've got one. You preemptively have to start taking pills just to enjoy your favorite food, right? You have to be like, well, now they said they wanted to go get some Mexican, so I need to grab my Pinot, and I probably should get my antacids, and there could be some cheese. I'm going to go ahead and grab my lactates too. When your purse or pockets are stuffed with potions and elixirs to quell whatever your body is going to do to the food it's going to consume, you're old.
Damn. You know, I will say, and it's one of my last remaining bragging points, is whatever I got going on internally, my stomach is a fort. Nothing hurts me. Nothing has hurt me. Fortunately, I don't have to do, like, I'm not the lactose person. I'm not the spicy person. I could do it all. I could do it all at the same time.
Wow.
So, Elle, I'll let you know when I cross that rainbow bridge,
okay,
so to speak.
Here we go.
I got one or two more. Ah, speaking of canceled plans, if plans are actually going to happen, here's what I need. I need to know when it starts. If it starts too late, I'm not going.
What's too late?
It depends on the season. But basically, let's say 7 o'clock is a good start time. If it starts 8 p.m. and later, chances are I'm not pulling up. And it's also a symptom of my work schedule, because like Friday morning, I wake up at 3:30. So like, I know mine is a little bit skewed, but if it starts past 8 p.m., I'm going to have to let that one go.
I think that's why the best thing to ever happen to old people like us was brunches. If I can day drink, still take a nap, or just day drink and then still be like somewhat of a productive parent enough to get my kids like to bed and I can be in bed by 10 o'clock, that's a productive day. Like I felt like I got to sort of do ratchet things with my friends and also be a parent day drinking. Like that is the solve for all of those things. Here's another one. This just happened to me. Here at the Celebration Bowl.
Oh.
Now you're going to know this reference because we're practically the same age. I'm shouting out to the players this list of like the all, you know, conference team. You know, hey, where's Isaiah Majors? And every time I would say their name, the rest of the team would shout out their nickname, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're, Meech, this, this. So I say, blah, 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 Broken Burr. And they're like, whatever his nickname was. And I go, maybe it's because I'm from Atlanta, but there feels like a very obvious brr here. Brr. Crickets. Not silence. Mine. I go, wait, oh my God, you guys don't like Gucci?
Oh my God.
Crickets. And then they were like, nah, man.
They
like knew who he was. He was like their parents. So then, of course, then I like really make them mad. And I'm like, well, Gucci is who y'all's mamas used to be shaking ass in the club to. So
like, that's how y'all were made.
Correct. They're okay. Like, not my mama.
It was a night
like,
that
no,
started
you're right.
with Gucci
you're,
Mane.
Yes. Your mom's the one mom in the whole entire country that didn't dance to that song. Sure, 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 sure. So I think
Gucci,
when young people don't understand your references anymore, and when you watch the VMAs and can't identify 90% of the people, you're old.
I actually just did that as sort of a test for myself to see if I can identify like the top 10 artists on the Billboard top 40 right now. And it was like a half kill rate. Like Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, but there was a couple names in there. I was like, I don't know if this is the artist or the song. And I'm familiar. And I'm familiar.
Her name is Beyonce.
Hey, you better stop because I know the Beehive is watching and listening everywhere. All right, they know how to use social media.
They're coming for you.
Damn, we're old, huh?
Yeah, it's just a little bit washed.
No, well seasoned. Well seasoned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been marinating for a long time. That's what I like to tell you. You know, we're like Awesome Buco. No. Like you just gotta marinate us forever and then roast us up.
Which is what they had at the Michael Scott dinner party.
They awesome. Did.
Oh, it only needs to braise for 3 more hours. Yeah. It was 10 o'clock. That's one of those situations. I was like, y'all, I got to turn in. I got to wake up early, which like having that early SportsCenter schedule is such a blessing in so many ways. Like that's been my out for so many things.
Sure. Yeah. It will be your excuse until you have kids and then they're a built-in excuse. They're the best built-in excuse of all time. You know, true. All you do is just, you know, nary a mention of a sniffle, a sneeze, or a stomach flu. And people are like, please don't come. Please, God, don't come. It's the best. It's just the best.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Football's going to be going away soon in the next couple of months, but until then, you can get your fill. I mean, you can literally sit in it because we've got so many bowl games coming your way. How many, Gare Bear?
43 of them things!
43 bowl games. Wow.
43 starting Saturday and not ending until that national champion is crowned on January 8th of next year. So
correct.
Do the math. That's like damn near 3 straight weeks of bowl game football from coast to coast and some coasts and areas that I didn't even know existed and couldn't point out on a map if my life depended on it.
Yeah, I enjoy that part. That's what's always fun about the basketball tournament too. You're like, where's that school? What's that in? We like to play, can you guess the state or vicinity? So if you are a historian or if you've done any research, bowl games back in the day just used to have like really simple names, the Salad Bowl or the whatever bowl, right? Now, of course, we've got sponsorships, we've got creativity, we've got marketing teams, and they come up with all kinds of names. And so we're going to play a little game here called, is it a fake bowl or is it a real bowl? Paul, you can play along at home and then brag as to how many more you knew than us and how you should take our job. That's fine.
Yep.
But Gary is going to ask me some of these and I'm going to do my best to see if I know them.
Okay, fantastic. And if you guys are listening or watching, I did not come up with that headline or the game title because that was pretty straightforward. Is it a real bowl game or is it a fake
real
bowl
or
game?
Fake.
Okay, here we go. I've compiled my list. You're down at the Celebration Bowl, so I'm going to have to go ahead and not include that one. But this one should be easy. Real bowl or fake bowl? The Crock-Pot Dinner Bowl.
Fake.
Are you sure? And is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Okay, you're right.
I know. I was like, zero chance.
Okay. How about this? The Wasabi Bowl.
That's too generic. Wasabi is just a thing. It's not like a sponsored thing. No, that's fake.
Oh.
It's like having a bowl of wasabi.
Well, I have some good news and I have some bad news. One, it's a real bowl. Two, I left out the actual title, which is the Wasabi Fenway Bowl, but obviously that would have given it away.
Okay. All right. So we're not doing Fenway necessarily bowl. Sponsors here. We're just because you don't want to tip them away. All right.
So
Wait. The Wasabi Bowl is in Boston?
Yeah, sure is.
Home of baked beans. Wasabi?
Sure is. SMU taking on BC inside Fenway Park.
At the Wasabi. All right.
The Green Monster ain't going to be the only thing that's green on
Okay,
that
there's a connection. Got it. All right.
I think that's this Saturday. Yeah. Okay, what about this? The Sofa King Cushion Bowl.
This is a good one. Real.
The Sofa King Cushion Bowl is not real.
Okay.
I just really need the homies to make sure that graphic spells out sofa and king. So that way you don't have to bleep me out.
Sofa
King Cushion Bowl. Okay. So far you are 2-1. Okay. The famous Toastery Bowl.
Toastery?
Yep.
Okay, when you said the famous, I thought you were going to go the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, which is a very real
bowl. That would have given away the state and the bowl.
That is a very real bowl. Wondery? Wondery is something, and I don't think you would have made that up. I'll go real.
Oh, you heard me say Wondery. I said Toastery.
Oh, Toastery.
Toastery Bowl.
The famous Toastery Bowl? Is Toastery a thing? Ah, I'm going to say real.
And she's right.
Yes.
She is an industry professional, ladies and gentlemen. Bonus points if you can guess the teams. I'll give you a hint. One of them, one of our dearly beloved colleagues, went to. And he...
Gary,
I know
we work with 600 different athletes. What are you talking about?
Well, he wasn't an athlete there. And, okay, it's Western Kentucky and Old Dominion. Jay Harris. I didn't know what, like, clue to give you. Okay. So you're 2-2. This is the tiebreaker, L.
All right. Okay.
No, actually, you're 3-1. No, wait.
You didn't give me wasabi, so I'm 2-2. This is the tiebreaker.
You're 2-2. Okay. This bowl is actually sponsored by actually an NBA player for the first time.
Okay.
Is it real or is it fake? The bowl. Okay. The bowl.
I know you just wanted to get that punchline in. It's fantastic.
It's so good.
I should have known it was going to be fake with the setup. I was like, an NBA player. There it is. Bowl.
Yeah, wouldn't that be so funny, though?
That would be incredible.
If he was like, this would actually be super awesome and good for the brand if I sponsored a bowl game.
Yeah.
I mean, the wasabi industry.
Yeah, it costs a lot of money to sponsor a bowl game. I'm not really sure Bowl has the kind of money where he could just trick off like that. Like, that feels like something LeBron James would do for fun. Like, I got tricking off money. This is hilarious. Let me just do this for a sec. You know, like Schitt's Creek, like buying Schitt's Creek because it was hilarious. Now, that doesn't feel like something Bowl would do. He seems much more, smart with his money.
Yeah. The wasabi industry, they're good for it. And obviously the avocado industry is good for it. They have their own bowl game. And you know it costs $6,000 for a bag of avocados Correct. These days. So, yeah, you gotta have smoney if you're trying to get and be part of one of these 43 sponsored bowls.
Well, good luck to everybody in their respective bowls. Did I win? Yep. Yeah, I won because I got